Verse 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 8. When the even was come, they brought unto him, talking about the Lord, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Talking about Isaiah 53 and 4. And there are those that would have us to believe today that Isaiah 53 and 4 was fulfilled in the atonement of Jesus Christ. That healing of sickness, bodily disease and sickness, and raising the dead was in the atonement. But according to this scripture, it took place before the atonement was made. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross was not just for healing of the body and getting rid of disease and raising the dead. But notice, let me show you what it said. When the evil was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all the sick. Now notice, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sins. This was before Christ ever went to the cross. We hear so much emphasis, so much talk today about by his stripes we're healed. And they, in saying that, they mean that Jesus Christ died to heal us of our bodily infirmities and keep away death and raise from the dead. That's why Christ died. But the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and 4 took place before Jesus ever went to the cross. The power to heal and to raise the dead and the authority that goes along or the permission that goes along with that came when Jesus Christ came. When he came to this earth, he automatically had that authority because he was God. The Lord's death on the cross did not do away with all sickness and affliction, nor did it guarantee the healing of all ills or in the stopping of death. Jesus did not come primarily for the healing of the body, raising the dead. But these were just incidences in his life that pointed to the far greater work that he came to do, which was redemption of his people. That's why he came, and that's why he went to the cross. Many get all excited about his healing and his miracles of how his power was demonstrated and never really understand the real purpose for his coming. Satan gets them sidetracked, gets their mind and emphasis on the flesh, the healing of the body, instead of the spiritual things, the healing of the soul. The Lord help me this morning. I'd like to speak to you on the subject of why did Christ heal the sick and raise the dead? If that's not why he died, if that's not why he was crucified, then why did he do it? There's a reason for it. The Lord never done anything incidentally. It was always on purpose. And that was a reason for the healing. Not that you and I might just get overboard. Somebody said you believe in divine healing. I believe all healing is divine. Amen. If you ever get well, it's because God did it. They may use doctors. He may use medication. He may use miraculous technology. But it's still God that does it. Amen. And he can, if he so desires, do it without any of those things. But it's his healing, not ours. Now, I do believe that God gives us doctors and medical know-how and so forth for the easing of pain and all today. But all healing is divine, not by the power of man or by the ingenuity even of mankind, but by the grace of God. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ healed the sick and raised the dead to show that he had the authority and the power to forgive sin. To prove beyond any shadow of a doubt to mankind that he was the one that could forgive sins and had the authority from God Almighty to do so. I want you to look with me in the book of Mark, if you will, chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Show you what I'm talking about here. Verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And this is why he was there, to preach the word. That's where the emphasis is. Keep that in mind. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which it was born upon. He never asked them to bring the sick. He never told them, I'm here to heal the sick. He went there. It was noise that he was there. And what did he do? He preached the word to them. And then they began to believe in him to the extent that they believed that he could help them, so they began to bring the sick to him. And they brought this one in. There was four people that bore this invalid in. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man that was sick, but the faith of those that brought him. You know, they tell us today, if you ask for healing, you're not healed because you don't have faith. It doesn't say anything at all about this man's faith. It said the faith of those that brought him. When the Lord saw their faith, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now notice with me in verse 10, here's what I want you to see. Well, let me, in verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned, they were questioning why he did this, that only God had the power to forgive sins, the Pharisees and all. And when immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned, verse 9 said, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way in thine house. Why did he do it? That they might know that had the power to forgive sins. Jesus healed the blind because sin darkens and blinds man's soul. Lost souls are blinded to their true condition. They're blinded to the danger that they're facing. They're blinded to the truth that only Jesus Christ and his shed blood can cleanse them of their sins. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, you were sometimes in darkness. Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness of the prison. Now, Jesus Christ healed the blind to prove to mankind that he could heal the blindness of a darkened, blinded, lost soul. You and I, before we are saved and brought to light by the Spirit of God, we're in total spiritual blindness. The Bible says that we cannot understand spiritual things. The natural man cannot conceive and comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. And so he has to open our blinded eyes. They're blinded to salvation, lost mankind is. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it said that the Lord sent Paul to open the eyes of the Gentiles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, it says that the God of this world, or Satan, has blinded the eyes of lost mankind that they might not see and know the truth and be healed or saved. They're blind. Now, folks, if Jesus Christ could not heal the blind physically, if he wasn't able to take the scales off the blind physically and give him sight, then he couldn't take the blinded eyes of lost sinners and give them sight either. So he proved to mankind that he's able to heal those and give sight to those that are blinded in spiritual darkness and cannot see the truth. Not only that, but he healed the lame because sin disables. In the very beginning, old Adam crippled mankind by his sin when he disobeyed God. And since the sin of Adam, all of mankind has been brought into this world as sinners. We were crippled by the fall of Adam. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 9, it tells us about a man by the name of Mephibosheth. He was a grandson of Saul and a son of Jonathan. And David and Jonathan loved each other more than husbands and wives ordinarily love each other, is what it says. It wasn't talking about he was a homosexual. It simply meant that they were devoted to one another. They loved one another. And Jonathan was an instrument God used to spare David's life from his own father. And when it was all done and Jonathan was dead on the battlefield and old David was king, he said, "Is there not some left of Jonathan's house that I might show love to him because of what Jonathan did?" And they said, "Yes, he has a son. He's over here in Lodabar desert place. He was crippled when he was just a little baby, and they heard that Saul was no longer king. His nurse grabbed him and ran because they'd afraid he'd be killed because he was to inherit the throne. And when they fell with him, it crippled him, and he's crippled. He's unable to come to the king." No, I like what old David said. He said, "You go fetch him." You and I can't come to the king. But praise God, he sent someone to fetch us and bring us. And he said, "You go bring old Mephibosheth." And he said, "Mephibosheth, from now on, you're going to sit at the king's table." No, Mephibosheth was still crippled. But you set him there at the king's table with all the rest of the king's crowd, and you couldn't even tell he was crippled anymore. Now I'm telling you today, folks, even though sin has crippled us and brought us down to where we cannot walk before our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he healed the cripple in his days physically, he can heal you and I scripturally, where today we can sit at the king's table and the whole world doesn't know how bad and terrible we used to be. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 commands us to fear God and walk in his ways. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that God has ordained that we should walk in good works, but we can't. Try as hard as we may, we still slip and fall. We can't walk uprightly before God. Oh, but Jesus Christ can heal us. Just as he healed the lame in that day and they were able to walk, he can heal us spiritually where we can walk in his precepts and follow him. In Micah chapter 6 verse 8, says the Lord requires that we walk uprightly and humbly before him. But we can't. We're spiritually crippled when we're lost. We're not able to walk before God. You remember over in Acts chapter 3, first 8 verses, when Peter and John went to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, they saw this man crippled on his feet, been crippled from birth. And he was begging alms. He couldn't work. He was disabled. So he's just asking somebody to have mercy and help him. And like most Baptists, old Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none." Now I'm paraphrasing, but in essence he said, "I've got something a whole lot better than silver and gold." Silver and gold might just feed you now and put clothes on your back. But what I've got will take care of you from now on in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. That old man couldn't go into the temple. He couldn't go and worship God. He is unable. But when Jesus Christ got through with him, he was able to walk before his God and serve his God. If he couldn't heal the physical, he couldn't heal the cripple. And he shows by the healing of the physically lame that he alone can give power to the spiritual lame to walk before God. Romans 8 and 11 said, "If the Spirit that raised up Christ dwell in you, that Spirit that raised him up will also quicken these mortal bodies." I'm talking about this old body. Now, it said mortal. Mortal means something that's living, that's dying. And folks, my soul is living, but it's not dying. It's going to live forever. But this old body is living, but it's dying. When this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. Jesus Christ said, if the Spirit that raised that body of his out of the grave dwell in mind in your heart, it'll give this old body life enough to where we can live for him and serve him. Amen. And be a servant to him. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, certainly we're going to be tempted, but there is no temptation but such as common to man. And with every temptation, he'll provide a way of escape. Every time a trial comes by, every time testing time comes by, that Spirit that dwells within the child of God will give you the strength and the grace to overcome that trial and overcome that testing. We can kneel for the Lord. We can walk before him because he has the power to heal the cripple, not only physically, but also spiritually. Then Jesus heals the deaf because sinners are deaf to the truth. Doesn't it amaze you how a lost person can listen over and over and over again to the truth? Can be explained to them in Sunday school from the time they're a little child, maybe their parents, and then in church, and by radio and TV, and so many different means they have had it explained to them over and over again. How that they die in the condition they're in, they're going to spend eternity in hell. They've been told about the glories of heaven. They've been told about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sin. Yet they still remain in darkness. They're still crippled, and they're still deaf to that truth. Let's go on and on and on. Psalm 115, verse 6 says, the sinners have ears to hear, but they hear not. Hebrews 11 and 6 said, without, now listen, very close to you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith, and that means trusting in Him. Romans 10 and 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't please God without faith. You can't have faith without hearing, yet the lost sinner is deaf. He can't hear. Just like the physically deaf couldn't hear. And Jesus Christ spoke and gave hearing to the deaf ear physically. He also today, through the preaching of the gospel and the function of the Holy Spirit, opens up the deaf ears of the lost spiritually today, and they can hear the gospel. And by hearing that gospel, they can be given faith by Almighty God to believe and be saved. Job 45:5 said, I've heard with the ear. He said, now let me see with the eye. And you'll never see with the eye until first you hear with the ear. You'll never see God. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. How can you be born again? By hearing. And that hearing, God through that hearing gives you faith and you believe. And then after you believe, you can see. Acts 16:14 tells us a story about a young lady by the name of Lydia. She was a seller of fine linen and purple. And old Paul and Silas went down to Philippi, and there on the river they begin to preach and they begin to pray. And it said that the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and she heard, and she was saved. Folks, I'm telling you, the reason Jesus Christ gave hearing to the deaf was to show mankind that He can take a lost sinner that's deaf to the spiritual truth of their condition and of what Jesus Christ did. He can open their ears of understanding to where they can believe and be healed from their spiritual deafness. Look with me in Mark chapter 7, if you will. Verse 32. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. He was not only deaf, but he was also dumb. By dumb, I do not mean stupid or ignorant. Simply mean he couldn't talk. And I want to tell you something else. You may say the word Jesus and use all kind of religious language, but you can never really talk about the Lord until first of all you've heard about Him. And he said, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. Now I want to tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ, by the person of the Holy Spirit, opens your eyes and opens your ears, and you hear about Him, and He gives you faith to believe, you can't stop your tongue from telling about it. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you before the Father and the angels. I do not believe a person can be saved and indefinitely not confess it. Don't believe you can. For with the heart man believes in the right, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And not only that, but Jesus healed the leper because sin defiles mankind. Look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 17. I'm talking about why Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. Luke 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Why did Jesus heal the leper? Because they were unclean. They were not fit for society. Leviticus tells us, chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, when it was proven that they had leprosy, they had to cry out unclean. They had to tell everybody they wasn't fit to be around them. And over in Isaiah 59, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says that leprosy defiled them. They were defiled before their loved ones. They were defiled before everybody because of the ignominy and the terrible disease of leprosy. And the Bible tells you and I that because of our sins, we are as lepers. We're defiled before a thrice holy God. God cannot stand the sight of us. Back of 1:13 says he's of such pure eyes that he cannot stand the sight of sin. So you and I, as lost sinners, we're defiled before God. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, our very best, all our good works, our righteousness is as filthy rags. I learned something a few years ago that I never knew before. I've read the scripture in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 about all of our righteous business being as filthy rags, and I think of just the dirtiest rags I could think of. You know, and how terrible they were in my sight, and how much more so were my sins in God's sight. But then I met a man that was informed very much about the culture of the day that this was written, this scripture was written in, and he told me what filthy rags were. I don't know whether you've ever seen lepers or not, but what they did, as leprosy began to take its toll, part of their anatomy would rot, like their nose. And so they would put a cloth over that, tied around it, or maybe the ear or the fingers. They would wrap these in rags to where they wouldn't be so unsightly before people as they became corrupt and rotted. And finally, even the rags themselves would begin to rot. And they'd have to take those rags off of that rotten flesh and those maggots and cast them aside. Old Isaiah said, for mankind, for lost mankind like you and I, our very best, the very best we can present to God in His sight is as those filthy rags. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, sin defiles mankind before God. So defiled cannot stand in the presence of God. And yet Jesus Christ healed the leper. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And He can take an old leper and heal him from his physical malady. But even greater than that, He can take an old, defiled, filthy, dirty, corrupt, lost sinner and heal him and cleanse him to where all sin is gone forever. Then Jesus Christ raised the dead. Why did He raise the dead? That wasn't why He died on Calvary's cross. Why did He heal the sick? Why did He raise the dead? Well, Romans 5 and 12 says, for by one man sin entered, and death passed upon all because all are sinners. James chapter 1, verse 15 says, sin, lust when it is conceived, bringing forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages, the actual payment, the ultimate end of our sin is death, eternal separation from God. We're all lost sinners in the beginning, before the Lord saved us. We were lost. We didn't know where God was, wasn't even looking for Him. But God knew where we was, and He came where we was because we couldn't go where He was. And He exposed us to what we really are and showed us what we were. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 said we were all dead in trespasses and sins. If Jesus Christ couldn't raise the dead physically, He certainly couldn't have raised the dead spiritually. I want you to look with me over in the Gospel of John. I want to show you why Jesus Christ raised the dead. It wasn't just because he had compassion, because he had compassion on many that he didn't raise from the dead. He had compassion on many that he didn't heal. If Jesus Christ's death on the cross was to heal man of his diseases, then Jesus Christ failed because he hasn't healed everybody. You go over to John chapter 5, and it says there was a multitude of people that were crippled and sick and impotent there at the pool of Bethesda. A multitude. And Jesus came by, and he only healed one out of that multitude, a certain man, said. He didn't heal them all. But I'm here to tell you that everyone Jesus Christ died for, he's going to save. Every one of them. Everyone that Jesus Christ paid for, every sin that he paid for, will never be remembered again. He's going to heal all of his people from their spiritual diseases. Look with me in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Familiar passage said, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with the hair whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And folks, that's what sickness is about. That's why God uses it, why God allows it. Because he uses it for his own honor and for his own glory. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, Paul writing to Titus said, they that suffer with him shall also reign with him. Do you want to reign with him? Do you want to rule and reign with Christ? Then be ready to suffer with him. It all goes together, folks. Now notice, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Then down in verse 14, Jesus tarried, delivered, and waited for him to die. They couldn't understand that. There's a lot of things today I don't understand. I see people sick. I see people in all kinds of shapes. I don't understand that. I just know God's in control. And I know God's not going to let anything happen to one of his own. It's not for their good and for his glory. I know that. And I just have to accept it. That was the case here with Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Then said Jesus, verse 14, unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes. Isn't that a terrible thing to think about? Your brother's dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that he's dead. In essence, what he was saying. Here's why. I'm glad that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus said, in essence, said, I'm glad this happened. This is all part of God's plan. You don't understand, but I do, in order that you might believe. The purpose in Lazarus dying and Jesus Christ resurrecting him was that people might see and believe that he was. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Why did he raise Lazarus from the dead? Because he loved Mary and Martha. He loved a lot of other people he didn't raise from the dead. No, he did it in this particular case, that they might believe that he was the Savior, the one that God had sent. In Luke chapter 7, right quickly. Luke 7. I'm talking about why Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. Verse 19. And John, calling on him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, this old John the Baptist now in prison. And he sent his disciples to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? He said, I want to be sure that you're the Redeemer, you're the Messiah. I want to be sure you're the Deliverer. I want to be sure that you're the Savior. Send word to me, let me know, so I'll know. Listen, said, when the men were come unto him, unto Jesus, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look for another? Now notice, and in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said, here's what you tell John the Baptist, in order he may know that I'm the Savior. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Folks, how do I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior? It's because he performed all of these miracles. He had the power to do it, to heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, to heal the crippled, and to bring to life those that were dead in their casket. I know that he can raise me because he raised them. I'm telling you, friend, it matters not how dead you may be in your sin. There's no difference. All are dead. There's no comparative term. You're not dead, deader, and deadest. You're either dead or alive. And if you've never been saved and quickened by the Holy Spirit, then you're dead, spiritually. Matters not how dead, how deaf, how blind, how dumb, how crippled, how defiled, even as loathsome as a leper. We have a deliverer, a Messiah, a Savior that can take you and heal you and give you eternal life. People get all excited today about being healed from many diseases of the body. But folks, I'll tell you what I get excited about. Is one day the Lord's coming back after me. Amen. I may suffer a lot in this life. I don't know what lays in store for me. But one thing I know, that one day he's coming back after me. Amen. And when he does, he's going to give me a body that'll never get sick. It'll never be diseased. It'll never hurt. It'll never have pain. It'll never have to weep. It'll never suffer anymore. But it'll live eternally like him. Amen. The old psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. That's what satisfies me. Well, I admit I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have cancer. I may have it, but I don't want to. I have a few chest pains, and my left arm gets to tingling sometimes. And I don't want to have bypass surgery. I may have to, but I don't want to. But that's one thing I want to be sure of. That whatever happens to me in this life, one of these days it'll all be over with. And I'll never have those worries anymore in eternity. Listen, certainly, we need to think about our bodies. We need to try to take care of these old bodies. God give them to us and they're important to us. But what our minds really ought to be on is our soul, our spirit, because it's going to live forever. One day they're going to take this old body, if the Lord doesn't come back before then, carry it out to a cemetery somewhere. I have a lot down just below Hopkinsville on Highway 68. My wife and I have a lot down there, and one of these days, if the Lord didn't come back for us, they're going to take us, our children, whoever's left, and put us down there in that ground. And we'll lay there, this old body will. Spirit's going back to God who gave it. This old body going to lay there, and probably rot, whatever happens to it, I don't know, and don't even care. Don't bother me one iota. Because I know one day, the trump's going to sound, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he's going to give me a glorified body that'll never have any more pain, never have any more suffering. The former things will be passed away. That's what I'm concerned about, folks. Not illnesses that may happen now, but eternity. What about you? I can assure you today, I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how black, how filthy you are, folks. And make any difference. He's able to cleanse you from all sin, if you'll trust him today.